chapter 4 and verse number, for sake of time, we're going to pick up a reading in verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Now, it's been said that when your children are little, they can step on your toes, but as they get older, they can step on your heart. Paul was experiencing this emotion. Paul had gone to Galatia. Paul had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and began to grow in their faith. And Paul travailed. He labored a labor of love in ministering to them, and great things happened. But now, Paul is hearing report that these believers in Galatia are beginning to kind of regress back into their legalism, their traditionalism. They're beginning to kind of go back away from the faith that Paul had given to them. And so comes this letter from the Apostle Paul to the believers in Galatia to call their attention back to the things that he had given them by way of instruction. Now, if God has blessed you and your home with children, and maybe that's on the horizon for some, this concept, this emotion, and this effort will be needed in your home for sure. Where you will give something to your children and then need to do so again and again and again. And what Paul was trying to do in the minds and hearts of these believers in Galatia was give them direction, was to give them purpose, was to make sure that they knew the mission that God intended for their life. And this morning, as we start this series of Babies at Home, I want us to look at the enemy of no direction. It should not be in our Christian homes that we have homes comprised with no direction. That it has a mom and a dad, or maybe just a dad, or maybe just a mom, and it has some kids, but there's not a purpose, there's not a mission, there's not a heartbeat, that everybody is in sync, moving in the same direction. That's an enemy. And by the way, when you look at the attack that the home is under in America today, there are many homes suffering from no direction at all. There are many families today that are not in church, hearing the instruction of the Word of God, but might just be home in PJs watching TV. And it may be that there's not a lot of direction, and there's not a lot of purpose, and there's not a lot of mission that's happening in their home because there's nothing being said by father and by mother. And that's an enemy plaguing the home this morning for sure. And so we've got to set direction at home. We've got to fulfill our responsibility of leadership and ministry in our own home. And we've got to be willing to do it again and again and again, and as much as it takes, as much as it might be necessary, to reach our goals for the Lord. So how can we establish direction in our home? How can we establish Christ in the center of everything we do? And that's what we're going to look at. And first of all, this morning to do that, let's notice the pattern. Paul provides for you and I in this text a pattern that we are to follow after. He says in verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And Paul is calling their attention that, listen, the goal here for the believers in Galatia was that Christ be formed in them. That's what Paul was working towards, is that these believers would model Christ in their lives and in their relationships. In our homes and our relationships, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your home, whether it's your relationship with others, it should model Christ as well. In fact, the Bible says in Colossians 1:18 that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God wants to be preeminent in every area of our life. God is not satisfied just to be on the list. He wants to be at the top of the list. And for those of us who have been around a little while, I believe we understand and agree, he should be at the top of the list. God has earned the top of the list spot. And we need God at the top of the list. When he's not, and we've got something else there in his place, we're heading down a dangerous path that we must avert and get off of. And So there is a pattern that is being set, and the Apostle Paul here is encouraging these believers in Galatia. And I believe we can learn some things about this pattern from the Apostle Paul as it applies to our home. As we notice this pattern, we're reminded this morning, first of all, letter A, that our children are gifts from the Lord. Paul references my little children. Now, Paul is speaking of the believers in Galatia, whom he had the privilege of sharing the gospel of Christ. Paul was their spiritual messenger. They were his children in the faith, if you will, in that sense. We know that the Spirit of God does the saving, and Paul was just the voice, but he had this bond with them because of this experience that they had together concerning the faith. And so he says, my little children. And if we have been given children, we've got to be reminded this morning that our children are God's gift to you and I. The Bible says in Psalm 127:3, little children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. His arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are children to youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Some of you have got some work to do. That they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. God says, children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Our children are God's gift to us. And sometimes we need to be reminded that when God gives the gift of life, when God gave you your son or your daughter, that was God's gift to you. But we've got to be reminded of something. We don't own them. They're God's. My children are God's. They're simply on loan to me. He gave them to Suzanne and I for a season that we might invest our life in theirs, that we might train them for a life to be lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, that ultimately that they would stand before their heavenly Father who has bought them with his precious blood, and they would hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's our job in the midst of this. But if we're going to set the right kind of pattern, we've got to recognize our children are gifts from God. They're God's, and they are God's gift to us. They are precious in God's sight. They are valuable. They are wonderful. They are to make us happy. And sometimes in parenting, we can forget that. It's like the dad who put his son to sleep and made sure everything was covered, made sure all the prayers had happened, made sure, you know, he went to the restroom and all the checklist that night, you know, got it all done and said, all right, go to bed. And turn the light off, goes over. 5 minutes later, you know, the boy yelled, Dad! He said, what? And he said, I need a drink of water. He said, no, I told you to go to bed. 5 minutes after that, the little boy, Dad! And Dad was just a little irritated. What? And the boy said, I really need that drink of water. I'm thirsty. And the dad said, son, I told you to go to bed. If you ask me, I'm going to speak. 5 minutes later, Dad! And the dad said, what? Dad, when you come in here to spank me, would you bring that water? And sometimes that's the way it is. I mean, sometimes you're working and you're doing this and you're doing that, and the challenges just kind of keep coming as it may be in parenting life. And we've got to be reminded, hey, our children are God's gift to us. And then we see, letter B, that we are simply stewards of their lives. In Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God created our children for his honor and glory. That is their purpose. That is their mission. That with their life, they would please and honor God. And God gave them to us that we might steward that opportunity as God's gift to us to train them up in a way that pleases and honors the Lord. And so we've got to make sure that we understand this pattern. God's the owner. We're the parent. They're the gift. And we want to invest our life in them so that they will please and honor the Lord with their whole lives. And hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul said, my little children. But then I want us to see the pattern and secondly to the process. He says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And there was a process that Paul was willing to go back through in order that Christ would be formed in these believers in Galatia. And if we want to rear children that are going to please and honor God, there is a process that we are going to have to be willing to go through again and again and again and again. And at times when we feel like going through, and at times when we don't feel like going through, at times when we got energy, and at times when we are tired, it's going to happen at all times. There's going to be needs at all seasons, and we're going to have to be willing at a heart level to do it over and over and over again. And Paul was willing to engage in this process, and we must be willing to do that again. Now, what does this process entail? I believe, first of all, it begins with a personal relationship. A personal relationship. Paul said, my little children. Paul had a personal investment in these believers in Galatia. He had already ministered to their lives. He said, of whom I travail. He said in verse 20, I desire, for I stand in doubt of you. Paul was personally invested in their lives. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse 13, like as a father pitying his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And you and I, if we're going to be involved in the process of setting direction in the hearts and minds of our children, we must have a personal relationship with them. Dr. Bobby Robertson has been pastoring the same church now in North Carolina for over 60 years. Coined the phrase, rules without relationship breed resentment and rebellion. I think I was a teenager the first time I heard him say that. Rules without relationship breed resentment and rebellion. If we want to make sure that we train, govern, guide, instruct our children in a way that honors and pleases the Lord, it's got to be undergirded with a relationship. We personally have to have a relationship with our children. You say, Brother Robert, now hang on here. We've got a couple of biological stakes. I get that. Father, mother, blood. I get all of that. But set aside the fact that they are the product of your relationship. Other than the fact that they are your biological child, set that aside for a minute and ask yourself this question at heart level. How is your relationship with your child? How is your relationship with them? Is it personal? Is it loving? Paul, not even being there, hearing the report of what was happening in the hearts and minds of these believers, gets pen and paper out and begins to write this letter, trying to stir up these people whom he loved, saying, I'm going to come back to you, but until then, you've got to work on this. Why? Because Paul felt personally invested. Isn't it amazing sometimes we get a call about something from work that isn't just right, and we will jump on it to make it right? But sometimes we may not even know that something in our home isn't right. And it may not be getting a response from us that should. This process began with a personal relationship. Paul said, I'm personally invested in it. And then this process, but it included prayer. Mark 9 reminds you and I that this kind came forth not but by prayer and fasting. And we want to make sure that we've got a personal relationship with our children. We want to make sure that we are involved in praying for our children, that we understand the enormous responsibility that we have to set the direction in our home and in their heart. It's like Jeannie Olson, who was a mother of five from Illinois, and she was with her daughter Kirsten, who was nine, and they were out for a morning time together having breakfast and just kind of enjoying conversation. And Jeannie kind of got the courage and she asked the question. She said, well, Kirsten, if I could be a better mom, what area do you think maybe I could improve? Kirsten thought for a moment, not wanting to offend her mom, you know, but wanting to be honest. And she said, well, you asked. And mom, you know, you do yell a lot. And I know you've been praying about it, but I don't think it's working. And you know, sometimes in our parenting, we might be aware of something that we need to do slightly better, and we definitely need to be praying about it. And I would encourage you, as prayer would be a part of this process, that every one of us in this room would pray to be a better family member personally. Lord, help me to be a better husband. Lord, help me to be a better father. Lord, help me to be a better wife or mother. That we would pray for ourselves as it pertains to our family. Help me to be as you would have me to be. Then may we pray for our family. Every husband in this room, I pray for his wife. Every wife in this room, I pray for her husband. Every parent in this room, I pray for the children. Well, you ought to have a list just for the potential student younger. You're praying for their salvation. You're praying for the development of their heart. If they're older, you're praying for their tenderness and their serenity. And you're praying for their future. You're praying potentially for their mate and these kinds of things. But you're praying for them at all times. And then can I encourage you? Pray with them. Well, one of the best things a husband and wife can do is to pray together. One of the best things a mom and dad can do is pray with their children. And we can be so practical for ideas. Pray before meal. Every time you're about to consume nutrition, you pause as a family and you just thank God for the food. And you pray and you ask the Lord's blessing in your home. It ought to be that all of us are doing that before every meal. That there's some distinctness in our home that shows us Christian, because we're thanking God for these things. That we're praying with our children before the day. It might be at the breakfast table. It might be just as we go out the door. It might be in the car on the way to school. But there's a time of prayer. We're ending the day in prayer. We're going into the bedrooms of our children and crawling to bed with them. We're kneeling down by their bedside and we're closing the day in prayer. These are things that you and I need to do, because we've all got to be aware this morning there's an enemy against our home. There's a threat to destroy what we're trying to do. There are many homes suffering because they have no direction. And Paul said, I want to see Christ formed in you. And I think every one of us who have children would say, Lord, we want to see Christ in our children. We want to see Christ in us. And that's not going to happen without prayer. We're going to have to ask God for his help. We're going to have to beseech the throne. So there's got to be this personal relationship. It certainly has to include prayer, but then I believe under C, it includes persistency. Paul says, of whom I travail again, over and over and over again. And if you and I are going to set direction and guidance for our home and keep the mission on point, we've got to be determined to stay after it again and again. We've got to be determined to grow and to improve as a spouse and as a parent. And we've got to be willing to do our part. Listen, if we lose our fight, we lose. One of the most tiring things in life is parenting. And sometimes people have an awareness of that, and they kind of come into that stage of life, and they're ready for it, and they're committed to it, and here we go. Sometimes people come into that phase of life and not really knowing, and then it's like, man, it's a lot of work. And parenting is a lot of work. And you and I have to have a commitment inside. We're going to be persistent. We're going to do our part. We're going to stay after it. We're not going to give up. We're going to get our strength from the Lord. It's like the story about the father who was playing cops and robbers with his three boys. And they were young and they were super active. And they were out there in the front yard. And they were playing cops and robbers and everything, you know. And one of the boys shot his dad. And he yelled, hey, Dad, you're dead. And boy, the dad just fell over real dramatically, you know, and kind of give it a little extra flair. And the boys were so excited about that. And then the dad just lay there, you know. And there was a neighbor across the street. He was kind of watching the whole thing. And the dad hadn't moved in quite a while. And the neighbor got a little concerned. And he walked over to the dad and kind of bent over just to check on him and make sure he hadn't injured himself, as he fell so very well. And he kind of leaned down and checked on him and asked if he was okay. And the dad said, man, don't blow my cover. This is the only rest I'm going to get, you know. And just trying to get a little reprieve from it all. And if you and I are going to be involved in parenting, we've got to be willing to be persistent. We've got to stay at that thing and give it all that we have. Now, persistent in what? First of all, we must be persistent in our time. The Bible says of Paul, he said in verse 20, I desire to be present with you now. Paul said, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I desire this. And you know, when you love someone, you want to be with them. Can I ask you an honest question this morning? If we judge the love for your children simply based on the amount of time you spent with them in the last 6 days, how are you doing? Because when we love them, we want to spend time with them. Paul said, I desire to be with you. I desire to be in your presence. Ephesians 6:4 tells us, and you find us provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that'll never be accomplished if we're not spending time with our children. We know, how does a child spell love? T-I-M-E, time. They desperately need our time. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we kick off this series on the news of home, that you would commit in your heart, we're going to spend time together as a family. Have some family nights. Carve some time out. Well, we don't have any time. But can I tell you in love, you got to get priorities in order. If I don't have any time for my family, then I'm out of bounds. There's some off in my life. I've got to get this thing figured out. I got to carve some time. We got to sit around the dinner table and see the light of each other's eyes. We got to get a board game out and have fun and laugh. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I've got to have time to train my children. I've got to have time to read them the Word of God. We've got to have time to pray together. If I'm going to fulfill the mission that we're being given today and throughout the next several weeks of this course, I definitely am going to have time to do it. Spending time together as a family. I would encourage you as moms and dads to spend time individually with your children. Get that time one-on-one. Get to their heart and get to know them in this way. Plan that kind of time. Guard that kind of time. Protect that kind of time. It's not a waste. It's worth your investment. Charles Francis Adams, the 19th century political figure and diplomat, kept a diary. And one day he entered, went fishing with my son today. A day wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in his existence today. And on that same day, Brooke said, went fishing with my father today, the most wonderful day of my life. You know, sometimes we think, this throwing the ball, what's that going to mean? This taking her out shopping, what's that going to mean? This going to Starbucks and sit across a table and spending 30 to 45 minutes just talking. I've got so many other things to do. Listen to me. We're going to get to a stage in our life where we would do anything for that time. And if they're under the roof of your home right now, take it. In time. Be persistent in time together. Secondly, be persistent in your training. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train the child in the way it should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I recognize that a child will reach an age where they can make their own decisions. But the Bible gives you and I this promise that if we will train our children up in the way of the Lord, that when he is old, he cannot depart from it. He will never depart from the training that we have given him. Now, he may choose for a season to dishonor the Lord, but he's not doing it without a guilty conscience. The prodigal son, the Bible says in Luke 15, came to himself. As he was eating the swamp with the pigs, he remembered, you know, it wasn't that bad a day. And the Bible says he got his right mind, he came back. Can I ask you a question? How did the prodigal son know what was right? Because he had a dad who trained him. So yes, he took his substance, and yes, he wasted into righteous living, and yes, he did these kinds of things, but that training never left that boy. And that training is what brought him back to his father and restored his life. May you and I be persistent in our training. Boy, may you and I know this book, and may we teach it to our children. May we take ownership of the fact that we want to invest in them, the principles of the Word of God. Deuteronomy says, and I shall teach you diligently to thy children, and shall talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as the frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gate, anywhere and everywhere, and at all times. We are to be training our children. Paul said, man, I've got to be personally involved in this, and I've got to be involved in the process, travailing and birth again. But then notice this is most thoroughly the product. Paul says, the reason I'm doing this, until Christ be formed in you. And if Christ in Romans 18 be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. What do we want our children to know? An abundant life, a righteous life, Christ in them. prodigy was seen in two aspects. First of all, an inward molding of the heart. A heart that is right with God. The Bible says in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the treasure of his heart bring forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Can I ask you a question this morning? And I'm asking you the same question. How's the heart of your children? What's in the heart of your children this week? Can I ask you an honest question? Do you know? What's gone into your child's heart this week? What have they seen? What have they heard? Where have they been? Who has had influence on them? Has it been good? Is good going to be coming out of their life because of what's been put in this week? Or would you and I go to the altar at the moment and say, God, would you help my child? I don't want what went in their life this week to come out. Would you please forgive me for what's in their heart? I've not guarded their heart like I should, and I don't want what's gone in to come out. When we are following the process personally, when we are involved in setting the direction, the product is an inward heart for God. The Bible says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I like this quote. If you want healthy, wholesome children, try giving them a portion of your heart rather than a piece of your mind. You know what our children need to see? You and I have a heart for God. You know what our children need to see? You and I have an excitement for the things of God. Man, it's Sunday. Here we go. Man, it's church day. Man, we got to get ready. We got to get our Bible. We got to brush our teeth. Here we go. Man, this is going to be awesome. It's church today. Hey, we ought to be excited about the things of God. Why? Because we want little people that grow up in our home excited about the things of God. Well, that doesn't just happen with a shot at some stage in their life. They got to watch it in us. An inward heart for God, but then lastly, an outward manifestation. When our children get to the place that they're reflecting the image of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in our time to read the whole passage in Corinthians, but if our gospel be hid, it is hidden to them that are lost. What is the outward manifestation of our children? Is it Christ? And so can I encourage all of us this morning? Enemies of the home. Many homes in America today suffering no direction. So how can we provide it? Well, Jesus is the pattern. Make sure that Jesus is the center of your home. Then it's personal discipleship. Roll up your sleeves, personally get involved. Spend time with your children. Train them. You say, well, I got to be honest, I don't know what to teach them. Come back next week and keep learning. What is it that we can train our children from the scriptures? Why? Because the product is Christ-likeness. You say, but Lord, is your goal that Mariah, Lydia, Annalene, and Joseph would someday be like you and Susanna? Heavens no. Now, like their mom would be good, their dad, no way. You say, what's your goal? That they would be like Christ. That they would be like Christ. And can I tell you something? We've got a long way to go. A long, long way to go. But we're in the fight, and we're in the journey. And you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And let's encourage one another, and let's be here next week, and let's continue to learn. Lord, what do we need to do that we can set the right direction, that we can invest in the lives of our children, and that we can see their lives be as Christ would have them to be. Heavenly Father, we sure love you, and we thank you for some time this morning spent around your word. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us as fathers and mothers, and maybe as husbands and wives, to make sure that our home is Christ-honoring. May we guard what comes in the heart, and may we desire that our heart and the way we live would please and honor you. May we roll up our sleeves and get involved. May we invest in the relationships in which we hold so dear. And may the product of that be Christ. We pray that we would see you formed in us and formed in our family. And we promise to praise and thank you for that. In Jesus' name.